good morning, everyone. Welcome to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. I hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning. Guess what? I'm going to fly solo today. Claudine, my gracious co-host, she's actually out on assignment making things happen. So you are stuck with me today. And but anyway, happy Saturday. We have a lot of really great things are happening. And I feel that the temperature in the economy and the things that matter for business owners, there's a good little bit of momentum going on. And at least that's what I get on the business side of things. But I realize that, as you know, it's hard to really think. One of the things that I talk about, and you know, if you're listening to us for the first time, we are here to help businesses be profitable and sustainable. So yeah, this is not like your, you know, gardening show or like your home improvement show. Really, what we are here to do, Claudine and I, is to help you be profitable and sustainable. So who is our audience? You know, who benefits the most from listening to this show? If you have a business, if you're thinking about starting a business, and if you know people who are running a business, or if you have a management role within a business, it behooves you to listen to this show. And the reason for that is because what we talk about here on a weekly basis with Claudine is actionable, you know, real life things that are going on with businesses. And we cover many, 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 many topics, ranging from payroll, financing, growth, sales, marketing, insurance, risk, mitigation. But you're probably wondering, hey, so what's today it's show is all about? Well, speaking of, you know, real time and real life, today we're going to be talking, it may have to turn into a two-part series on raising capital. One of the primary reasons why I get involved, start working with companies, particularly in the lower middle market, which is $2 to $10 million, is because they need to take advantage of an opportunity in the marketplace, and they just don't know how to go about raising the capital needed, or how much capital, or how the pricing is. Do I need, you know, the truth is, there comes a point in time in the life of a business when decisions need to be made. If you're a business owner, you're going to have to make some decisions. Do you stay where you are with the status quo? Or do you go after that opportunity you have before you to grow your business? Whatever that is. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. You're going to be faced with that decision. Do I want to grow my business to a sizable beyond you when you actually need to get a management team in place? Or do you just keep it as a lifestyle business? And you know, what is a lifestyle business? To me, a lifestyle business is a business that is generating probably from $100,000 a year to, you know, even $500,000 a year in revenue, very, very profitable. And the owner doesn't have probably very many employees, maybe a handful of employees. It's a proven business model. It makes a lot of money. And the owner can take off when they want to and be gone when they want to, and actually can afford to be gone any length of time in the business. But there's no intention of growing it past the million mark. If that's the case, if that's you, God bless you. That's awesome. But for the rest of us, you're probably going to have to grow to take advantage of opportunity. So how is everybody doing? How has your week been? That's crazy, the amount of earthquakes. Gosh, you know, we are in California. We're in the Central Valley. And, you know, if you've been following the news, there's been a series of earthquakes, Ridgecrest and surrounding areas, with thousands and thousands of aftershocks. So, gosh, you know, as a CFO, What I think about, it's two things. I think about risk and I think about cash. Now, if you are in an earthquake zone, gosh, you should be thinking about, hey, do I need the type of insurance, you know, earthquake insurance? And you know, you get insurance before you need it because when you need it, it's too late. It's no different than going to a bank to get a loan when you need it because when you need it, it's too late. So today's show, back to today's show, I'm excited because I'm going to share with you some of the things that I'm doing right now with certain clients. And without disclosing the clients, it's just some of the things, what we're doing to help them get to the next level. And doing so by raising capital. Okay, so I usually face, we know, with those questions. So you are meeting with the business owners and they are figuring out which way to go. And the first question I ask is, how much money do you need? And why do you need money? Do you even need money at all? Because the minute you take a dollar from somebody else, you're going to have responsibilities, right? If it is a bank, you're going to have to be pledging some collateral. You're going to have to be personally guaranteeing it. And we'll explore all of that throughout the show today and the next show. But if you take venture capital, which sounds very sexy and attractive, and a lot of people get excited about it, it just sounds very romantic and you know, like you see in the Shark Tank and some of those other shows, there is a dark side of that. And there is a lot of small print that a lot of business owners don't realize. So we'll be talking about that today. So some of the topics that we're going to be covering today is the types of investor funding. And there are three very basic types of investor funding: equity, loans, and convertible debt. Now, there's one thing that is not mentioned here, that you know, that you can always grow your business by generating more sales. So let me put that out there. You don't always have to go get money from somebody else. Sometimes you may have to, but the number one source of cash I recommend to business owners is to simply grow your top line and be very shrewd about how you grow the top line to make sure that you have enough gross profit and you have little operating expense and everything falls to the bottom line, and assuming that you're collecting it on a regular basis, you should have plenty of cash to build your business. So the three basic types of investor funding, we're going to be talking about equity, loans, and convertible debt. What does it mean for startups raising capital? How long does the funding actually take? I get that question a lot. Well, how long will it take, you know, from when we start working together and for me to raise my $2-3 million? Well, the quick answer is it depends. And we'll get more into that. Hey, how about how many investors should you talk to in a VC fundraise effort? And how do you prioritize? So there is a process that goes to that. And you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go at it haphazardly. You have to have somebody in your team, if you are going to go that route, to actually understand how to speak the VC language, the venture capitalist language. For those out there who are in technology, we're going to talk about 8 ways to increase the value of your software company or your technology business. So that's that. So we're very excited about, you know, there's a lot of really good, I'm excited just because some of the great things are happening. I haven't seen this much capital out there available for you. I haven't seen that much capital available in a long time. What does that tell me? That the appetite for investment is ripe. So if you have a great idea for a product or service, the time is now. My father used to say, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. And the next time, today. So if you're looking at, I was just recently sat down with somebody who told me about GSA contracts. You know, you know, that's working with the government and federal funding and federal programs. And that's really, really exciting. So those are the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about today. Stay tuned. This is going to be a great show. There's a lot to unpack. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are at the right place at the right time. Don't turn that channel. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, except that is just me today. You're stuck with Leo. Hey, so if you're listening to the show for the first time, hey, what are you actually listening to? Well, we are two professionals. I am the business guy and Claudine is the attorney. The very smart attorney who happens to be very business savvy. She's not here today, but we both are passionate, consummate passionate about helping you succeed in business. Why? Because we've been there, done that. We've been there. We're involved in many businesses collectively. Claudine and I have been involved in over a dozen businesses, from real estate software, professional service delivery, restaurants, etc. So we know a thing or two about what it's like to build a business. So funding. One of the funnest topics. So, hey, you have built a business and you have put your blood, sweat, and tears on building a business. And you spend the last few years working seven, you know, days a week trying to carve out a niche for yourself, a name in the marketplace. Isn't that what the American dream is all about? But now you got a fork on the road. What do I do? I have grown the business as far as I can grow it. And that number may mean any really amount of revenue that you're comfortable with. You may think that you're limited. Hey, I build it to $10 million. I'm very comfortable in doing so. And the average person will say, wow, I would be happy to if I could get to half of that. I think beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Because it's not really about how big your sales are, how much is your top line, as I like to call it. But a real business begins at the gross profit, which means that if you have variable costs, you know, what we call cost of goods sold or COGS, you really begin to make profit at the gross profit level once you pay those variable costs. So if you're driving to and fro today, you need to listen to this because there has never been so much funding available until now. So there are three basic types of investor funding: equity, loans, and convertible debt. Each method has its advantages and disadvantages. And they are different fits. You know, some are better fit for some situations, some for others. Like so much else about the fundraising process, the kind of investor-based fundraise that is right for you depends on a number of factors. It could be the stage of your business, the size, and the industry of your business. That is important. Your ideal time frame, the amount you're looking to raise, and how much you're planning, and how you're planning to use it. Your goals, your company, both short-term and long. Essentially, you need a plan. So what we're exploring here is in this investor-based funding, in some detail, we're looking at the way that the option is structured, the situation for you. What is the most useful and advantageous for you in order for you to be successful? Are you following me? So there are advantages and disadvantages, which any of the choices that you have before you, some that I'm going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. So keep in mind, though, that for just a quick overview, you'll need to do more digging on your own. This is just basically an introductory lesson on this type. I would expect that you, if you have any questions, you come to us. You know, there's no charging you. I mean, in fact, I don't expect to work with every person that calls our office. So if you, by the way, if you're wondering, you need to call us or need to look us up, go to greenlandhq.com, www.greenland.com. G-R-E-E-N-L-A-N-D-H-Q www.thebankofamerica.com or call our office, 559-207-3148. Anyway, back to this. So, equity, what's the deal? Pursuing equity, what we call an equity fundraise, means that in exchange for their money that the investors invest now, they will receive a stake in your company. They will be owners in your company. And they will be entitled to a portion of the income or the profit, the net profit that you make, plus whatever decisions you may make in the future. Equity, though, is one of the most sought after forms of capitals for entrepreneurs. As I mentioned before, it's sexy, it's exciting, it's at the edge of entrepreneurship, and it's part because of it's an attractive option. Why? Because there's no repayment schedule. Now, think of use for those of you who actually have loans and what that means. And you have every month money needs to come out of your bank account, or you have to write a check to pay to satisfy that principal and that interest. So there's a good thing that there's no repayment schedule, that you got some high power investor partners. It depends who you go with. Right? If you have but in general, if you're lucky enough to be in the realm of the 1-2% of the companies that get funded, you're gonna have some high power people whose sole interest is to help you get to the next level so they can cash in on the success of your business. So, why is it attractive? There's no repayment schedule. You got high-powered partners with you. And it's partly because it's a form of capital that requires the most seeking. So how does that work? At the outset, when you're looking for this kind of money, you set a specific valuation for your company. Which, what is a valuation? Well, that is an estimation of what your company is worth at that point. Now, for those of you who are new to this subject, a valuation is nothing more than an appraisal for your business. Now, if you own real estate, it's easy to figure out. Now, so what is the value of your home? You go to Zillow, you go to Realtor.com, or you go to the MLS system, and then you look for the address where your house is at in the vicinity, and the value of your home is the composite of all the values of similar properties of look and feel and the same square footage that have sold in the last 6 months. So you have a pretty good idea what the valuation or the appraisal for your home is, and then you would pay a competent person $300-$400 to actually give you a bona fide a third party verification of that value. Well, in businesses, it's not that simple. If you really want to get a valuation in your company, you're going to have to pay thousands of dollars. At the very least, a simple valuation by a competent firm, an accounting firm that specializes in valuations, can set you back $4,000 to $5,000. Now, VCs, those investors who will be looking to doing fiduciary, taking a look at, doing their financial due diligence, they will probably want to have you provide audited financials if it really gets that serious. And how much would that set you back? Gosh, it may set you back $20,000, $30,000, but let's not go there now, right? We're at the So we're back at valuation. So based on that valuation and the amount of money the investor gives you, they will own a percentage of stock in your company for which they will receive a proportional compensation once you sell or go public. Now, what is the holy grail? Those unicorns. Those companies whose valuations exceed of $1 billion. Think Airbnb. Think Dropbox. Those Uber that 1 in 100 or probably 1 in 1,000 companies that get funded that actually make it through the $1 billion plus valuation. So what are, if you're looking for venture capital, what is it that a VC is looking for? Short answer, 5X on their investment. So if you are going to be looking for $1 million from a venture capitalist firm, they're going to be looking to make 5 times their investment within 3 to 5 years. Follow me? So it is important that you get just enough capital to make it to the next round. You don't want to get too much capital, because the more capital you give, the more your equity is diluted. Think about it. You're giving away of your ownership of your baby. This is the company that you've built. So let me give you an example. So say you have a bakery, and it's a successful bakery, and you want to turn this into a franchise system. You want to turn it into a national chain of bakeries. Now, no offense to those who are in the bakery business, but this is just an example. So, and they're looking for $500,000 equity investment at a company valuation of $2 million. Venture capitalist firm XYZ invests $250,000. How much of the company do they get? Well, there is the pre-money valuation concept and there's the post-money valuation concept. Pre-money is what the company is worth before any money gets added on. So it's not really that simple. So you would think if somebody gives you $500,000 on $2 million, is that going to make him 25%? It doesn't work that way. So in this particular example, you have a VC firm that gives you $250,000 because they believe in the promise. They believe that you will become the national franchisee, that you're going to become a powerhouse in the bakery business, and you're going to take a bite out of Walmart and some of the other big, big, big players that provide bakery goods. The truth is that at $250,000, they're only going to get 11%. Right? Because you take the $250,000 equity injection into the post-money valuation. So the company's worth $2 million and they injected $250,000. How much is the company worth? $2,250,000. So hang in there with the math. So now it's worth the $2 million plus the equity injection. So the company is now valued. They have a bona fide value, third-party appraisal of $2.2 million, and they injected $250,000 of that. They own 11%. So very important that you understand how the money works. And that's why you don't want to go at this without having somebody on your team that really understand all this. And not just barely scratching the surface. When do you do it? There are several situations in which an equity fundraiser makes most sense or is the only real option for a company. The number one reason why companies need to raise VC money is because you need a long runway. Not every business will start generating income as soon as it launches, especially those who have a very bold idea, those market disruptors, those very savvy, visionary type thinker founders who think that they can disrupt an industry, but they may take a while, you know, to perfect this model. Think of it, what happened when the whole idea of Netflix came about. Think about it at the time, how many times did the founding team of Netflix went out to meet with VCs telling this idea of, hey, you know what? There's Blockbuster and they're doing such a great, fine job, but we think we can do it better, cheaper, faster. And we have a model that we think is going to revolutionize the industry, and we're going to do that by sending people a movie, and they can keep it for however they want, and they can just pay us late fees, and they can, you know, return the movie whenever they want, and we just need to have enough of them in circulation. I can imagine how many VCs were like, well, that's crazy. Well, who pays the shipping fees, right? Well, how do you ensure that those movies come back to you? And how much are you going to spend in marketing? What is the cost to acquire a customer? What is the lifetime value of the customer? Things that were not known at the time, but there were obviously more than a handful of VC firms that actually understood and were able to catch the vision of what Netflix could become and became, that eventually took down Blockbuster. So it is important but they needed a lot of cash to perfect their model. And that's why the number one reason is if you're going to need a lot of money pre-revenue, You're going to need a long runway. You're going to need venture capital. So right now, we're talking about raising capital for your business. You are listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Are you still awake? Are you still interested? Are you still looking for capital? Well, this is Leo Landaverde, founder and CEO of Greenland Advisors, greenlandhq.com. If you are looking for capital, financing, or getting your books in order, or really want to scale to grow, you need to talk to us. We will help you with that. That is our specialty. We love helping businesses grow and take them to the next level. And we've done it with many industries. And we're currently raising capital for multiple companies in multiple industries. So we know this stuff. So anyway, where were we? We're talking about when you need private equity in the form of venture capital. So not every business will start generating income as soon as it launches. But spending a few years in the red doesn't mean your company is a viable business proposition. Think Amazon, right? Remember Amazon, and even as a publicly traded company, lost billions of dollars because they were still perfecting their model. Now, who would argue it now? It's said and done. They are the 800-pound gorilla in the marketplace. But it took him a while to perfect their model. And Jeff Bezos had a vision for it. And he had enough capital behind him to pursue that. So internet companies, for example, are notorious for going years in operation without even attempting to charge their customers. Think of it, the Facebook model, the freemium model that I call is free to access. But who's paying for the services? How do you generate revenue? You know what? Here's the interesting thing. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Most companies that start one way, think Twitter, the way we know it now, is not initially how they started. They started up maybe as a different type of business model that wasn't making any sense. And the founders, the owners, the management team was like, oh, this is not working. We need to do something. We're going to run out of money. And they basically landed on the type of business model that they have now with the tweets. But that's not how it was envisioned. Facebook was not meant to be what it is today. What Mark Zuckerberg wanted a platform to trade pictures in college dorms. That was the lofty aspiration. But it changed over time. And while perfecting that model, you need cash. So that internet companies, technology companies are notorious for that. So if you need a sizable infusion of operating cash to sustain your business before it starts turning a profit, equity investments are the only form of capital that makes sense. Right now, we're talking about venture capital. We'll get to the other types in a little bit. So, but when you have zero collateral, so, all right. In order to take out loans, you need to have something to offer. Hello. In case things don't work out as planned. And I always say this, if you've known me for any length of time, I say this. Don't go to a bank when you need money. Because when you need money, it's too late. Banks are in the business of making money. And if they see you as a money-losing business that is losing cash every month, how are they going to ensure that they get repay their interest plus their principal? No, bank doesn't want to lose money. So if you don't have anything of value to give to collateralize your loan that provides the security, then your only real option is funding for finding equity investors who are willing to take a chance on your idea with nothing to sell if the business goes south. Did you know that only a very small percentage of funded companies actually make it and produce the 5x returns that the VC firms want? It's true. So they're betting on very few investments to actually make it. That's why they want the aggressive returns that they want. So here's another. So when, okay, we're talking about when to do it. Number one, when you need a loan runway. Number two, when you have zero collateral, which means you have zero to offer, nothing but a great idea. And number three is when you can't possibly bootstrap. What does that mean? So while homegrowing your company from the kitchen or spare bedroom, which is the American dream, bit by bit, may not sound as glamorous as hitting the ground with investors already lining up, most investors will expect you to start there before they invest. But some businesses, a private jet service, for example, require massive amounts of capital just to get off the ground. In those cases, you have little choice but go directly to equity. So what is the American dream, right? You start with nothing. You know, many businesses were started under $1,000. You can actually start a business today for less than $1,000. It is just the type of business that determines the amount of capital that you need to fund it. Now, if you get into the restaurant business that has a notoriously high failure rate, you need a lot of capital to make a go of it. That's why the franchise model with McDonald's and those top franchises makes sense, because they have a proven annuity model. So if you put in $1 million, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to get 7% on your return, cash on cash return of 7%. Why? And why are some people willing to live that low with that kind of investment, aside from the 80 hours you're going to work with while developing your franchisee? Because what are the options for returns elsewhere? If you put the money on a money market account, you'll be lucky to get 1-2.5%. But the idea is, I highly encourage you to get as much done, perfect your model, do whatever you can to be profitable, and have a proven business model before you go seek capital, because the more successful your idea, the more attractive you are to investors, and chances are they're going to fight over for you if you have a profitable business idea that is making sense. And it's almost like you don't need the money, and you're going to them to vet your idea. And usually what happens? An explosion of capital. And some companies actually take too much, which is a subject for another discussion. So number four, when you are positioned for astronomical growth, equity capital tends to follow businesses and industries that have potential for massive growth and exponential paydays. Hello, right? Your local coffee shop concept may do really well and may be very profitable, but doesn't have the potential to become the next Google. So if you're not likely to attract many equity investors, right, because of that, that's just what it is. On the other hand, if you're looking to build the next Starbucks chain, and you have a vision and a plan to support that kind of growth, chances are investors will be interested in jumping into your bandwagon on the road to an IPO. Think Lyft, think Uber. Things to keep in mind. Equity narrows your options. Choosing the equity route significantly narrows your options when it comes to the future of your company. What does that mean? Equity investors are interested in only one thing: liquidity. They part $1 million in your company, they want to get $5 million out within 3 to 5 years, and they're going to make sure that happens. Once you're accepted, so liquidity, right? That means that they won't be satisfied with just a cut of the profits every year. That's not what they're about. Once you accepted their money, they will expect that end game for your business is either a sale or an IPO. Let me repeat it again. Once you accepted their money from a venture capital, they will expect their end game to be for you to either sell or an IPO. Before they invest in the first place, they're going to look for assurances that your idea can sell or be big. Go big or go home, right? And if that is your plan, great. So before you pursue the equity funding, fundraising route, you should make sure that your vision is aligning with big promises, big returns, a bold idea. You know, you want to create something that is not there, that is not in the current marketplace, that is such a noble idea doesn't exist, like breathing, walking on air, or telepathy.
teleprompting yourself somewhere else. I mean, just really crazy ideas. Those are the ones that get funded. Because investors are interested in ways to really disrupt markets. Okay? Equity investors expect big rewards in exchange for the big risks that they take when they give money to any company. Let me put it to you this way. If every entrepreneur could walk into a bank and get a loan to finance their idea, many probably would. Unfortunately, banks are incredibly risk averse. They are on the other side of the spectrum. And they only want to provide loans that they're sure will be paid back. And they will make sure by running an infinite amount of ratios to make sure that their risk is minimized. So they stand diametrically opposed to the VCs and the private equity people. It's two different crowds. And you pitch to them differently. That's where equity investors come in. They're willing to take risks when lenders aren't. But there are two sides of the coin. An equity investor isn't looking for an interest payment on the money they're giving you, so they don't really care about the payback in terms of interest. They want the really big payout. They're exchanging more risk for more reward. That makes sense, right? A lot more. And they're going to want to see results, and they're going to want to have oversight. Next, competition for equity investments is very high. There are far more people looking for equity investors than there are checks being written. So there is an overwhelming demand for money, but very few suitors are found. Most equity investors will see hundreds, if not thousands, of deals in a given year before they find even one. I'm just giving you a dose of reality. Getting an equity investor is like getting the perfect score in your... It feels like getting a 1600 in USAT. You have to be on the top percentile. You have to be bright, articulate, and you have to be able to lead your team. You have to be prepared, motivated entrepreneur who is willing to risk it all. And if they perceive that, they may walk away with a check in hand. Next, raising equity capital, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. And be prepared. No matter how prepared you are, it can easily take 3 to 6 months to find the right investor. And that's not counting the times it completes to take the final legal documents, because there will be legal documents that make the money available. You will be signing legal documents to ensure that you understand what you're getting into. So if you and your business are in a time crunch, equity fundraising may not be the best way to go. You may have to look for other alternatives. Next, giving up equity is a one-way street. Once you've given up equity, you're not likely to ever get it back. It is very rare for an entrepreneur to buy back the equity they're giving away early in the creation of their company. Once you sold a certain percentage of your equity, let's say 45% of your business, you can't sell that 45% again. You have 55% left. Once you sell equity to an investor, that investor is part of your world, whether you like it or not. So tempting. Okay, well, stay tuned. I'm being told I need to go to break. Stay tuned. Business and Legal Talk with you, Claudine. We'll be right back. Yeah, having some fun talking about money. Funny thing is, My firm almost always gets involved when it comes to raising capital, because it's fun, but it's also very technical, and you have to know what you're getting yourself into. So, hey, so if you're just tuning into the show, you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Lee and Claudine. We've been having some fun talking about raising capital, which is the thing that I'm doing the most. My firm is engaged the most across the state of California, is looking for capital, for companies, for different, whether it is private equity, VC, angel investors, or just financing deals, structuring debt, etc. So that's what we do. We help businesses grow and be profitable and sustainable. Claudine is not here today. But she will be talking about all the legal implications of keeping your business sustainable. No chance of making, you know, there's no fun in making all that kind of money if you have to pay it through a lawsuit. So heck, anyway, back to this. So we need to wrap this up. So we've been talking about the types of investor funding so far. We talked about equity. Now we're going to talk about loans and convertible debt in the time we have. And we only have about 8 minutes. So there's a lot to pack. So hang tight. So loans. Loan or debt-based fundraising is the easiest of the three varieties to understand in basics. You borrow money now and you pay it back later with an established rate of interest payback. This is also the most common form of outside capital for new businesses. And here is where I'm very happy of our association with the SBA and SCORE. The SBA makes it incredibly easy for a new budding entrepreneur to raise the capital they need when otherwise you would be unbankable. So if you're looking for funding for your business, the easiest, and you're a fairly new business, you need to go to the SBA. So hit us, you know, go to our website at www.greenlandhq.com if you want to learn more. But yeah, so back to loans. So while angel investors and venture capitalists get all the big headlines for funding existing companies, it's the debt providers, the banks, that are behind most of the investment dollars that go into the 99%, you hear that? 99% of companies that are splashed across magazine covers of business websites. And that is true. For every company you see in the news or hear on the radio or read in newspapers and magazines, there is 99 that are not even talked about. And there are successful businesses that didn't get funded by VCs, got funded by a bank, by the local bank. And they are very, very profitable. And no wonder banks invest in them. So how does that work? When you decide to pursue debt-based fundraising for your business, you specify in your fundraising terms the rate of interest you will come with the repayment of the loans you receive. You may also provide an expected time frame. So whether it's 3, 5, 7 years, the amortization of your loan, whatever is necessary so you're comfortable making that payment. And the bank will assist you with that. Your banker will determine your debt service coverage ratio based on your net income, how much debt can you afford to pay in any given year. The important piece here is that the loan puzzle is collateral. Remember what I said? If you have no collateral, chances are you're going to need to raise capital. And if your idea is sexy enough, you might have to go to VCs. Well, here, when it comes to loans, you do have to have some collateral. Some concrete, sellable thing your lenders can take from in the event that your business goes under and you can't repay your loans. Think of it. What can they have when you're no longer around? Now, the number one thing the banks hold on to is your receivables. So if you produce receivables, if you are in the service business and you produce invoices and to be paid at a later date, the bank will want to make sure that their debt is secured against those. So if you go under, they'll have receivables and they have what is called the current ratio. And that's going to be a very powerful thing for a bank. Speaking of the ratios that are very important to banks are your debt service coverage ratio we just talked about, which is your net profit or your cash flow divided into the actual debt service, and they like that to be at least 1.2 or 20% in excess of the debt service. That means principal and interest or whatever other fees. The next one is the current ratio, which is your current assets over your current liabilities. Does that make sense? So that means if something bad happened and you had to close, for instance, we had this whole thing that happened with the earthquakes, right? And say you, gosh, knock on wood, right? Something bad was to happen to your business and you're in the line of fire in the fault zone of the earthquake, and then you no longer have the liquor store or the 7-Eleven. Then the bank has a loan against your business. What are they going to do? They're going to take all the receivables and they're going to liquidate them and they're going to pay back their loan and all the people that so they're basically going to be ahead of everybody else, but they're basically going to liquidate all of your liquid assets, you know, anything that can be liquidated within a year, and they're going to get themselves paid back. That's why the current ratio is very important. And a third ratio,
that is not often talked about is the debt-to-equity ratio. It's how much debt for every dollar of equity they're willing to give you, and usually is about $2.50 to $3 for every dollar of equity you have. So bottom line is, the more collateral you have, the better your chances of securing large amounts of financing. Example. So let me give you an example here. So let's say, in order to start his new luxury car dealership, Rusty, you know, or let's call it Bob's Auto Parts, is seeking $2 million in loans, which he will use to pay his first round of cars to sell. In his fundraising terms, Bob establishes the loans will be repaid with an interest of 10%, which I think is pretty high, you know, but let's go with 10%. And the collateral for these loans, Rusty offers the cars themselves, as well as a mortgage on the property for the dealership, which already he already owns, probably free and clear, and he's going to personally guarantee the loan. So what is the downside on the bank? That he actually doesn't make a go of his business, and the bank has to liquidate his cars, probably pick up his home and whatever else. So what is the risk to the bank? Little to none. When to do it? As with equity, there are a handful of scenarios where debt is the most useful option for financing your company. Okay, here they go. Here we are. Number one, when you need less than $50,000. Number two, when you need capital quickly. If you have a time-sensitive opportunity and you don't have 3 to 6 months to look for investors, we're probably not going to even be interested in talking to you for $50,000 or even $100,000. Your local bank may be willing to give you a line of credit if your numbers make sense. But don't go to the bank unless you have your financials done and you know what you're, you know, that you make sure that you are have been profitable and you have a history of growth. Otherwise, you know, you get one chance to impress a bank and that may be it. One is another reason when to get a loan is when you need the money for a very concrete, tangible reason. Think of it as real estate, for instance, computers, equipment. So you need to buy a building, or because you're sick and tired of paying rent where you are, and you feel like you're you want to stop paying rent and you want to own the building. Well, that's a tangible way. The other one is, you know, you want to get equipment for your business, or you know if you're in the transportation business, you need trucks, etc. Also, when to get loans is when equity isn't available. If you aren't ready to start offering equity, or you just don't want to. And some people don't want to, and that's okay. Raising debt through a loan is the right course of action. Many entrepreneurs are understandably reluctant to give up equity in their company, and a straightforward loan has an attractive benefit, because really what a bank doesn't want any ownership of your company. They just want to get paid back. So keep in mind, these are the things to keep in mind. Collateral is the name of the game when it comes to loans. Despite what you may think, banks and other lenders don't really make that much profit on a single loan, especially if they go bad, because some do go bad. For that reason, they only say yes to deals where they can actually be 100%, if there's such thing, 100% sure that they won't lose out. Lack of collateral is not the end of the world. Lack of collateral doesn't completely rule out the possibility of taking a loan. But if you don't have any collateral and you don't plan on signing for the loan personally, which is what I talked about, personally guaranteeing the loan, your options are mostly limited to smaller loans, usually less than $50,000 a loan. And I tell you what, you're not going to like those terms. In this case, you know, you have other options. Now, here's another thing that plays a role when you're actually looking for loans, debt versus equity. When you're looking for debt, your credit is a big thing. It's a big key. You can achieve a lot if you have great credit. So, you know, I've heard of business owners that I can actually get lines of credit with American Express. Tremendously powerful lines of credit if you have great credit to prove it, to back it up. One thing that we have not talked about, and I'll quickly go over it, is convertible debt. Convertible debt is essentially a mashup of debt and equity. You borrow money from investors,
with the understanding that the loan will either be repaid or turned into a share of the company at some later point in time after an additional round of fundraising. So it's kind of a way for the VC to hedge their bets once the business reaches a certain valuation. So if the valuation in the next round makes sense, they're going to convert to debt to equity. If not, they're going to keep the debt. The specifics of how the debt will convert into equity are established at the time of the initial loan. Usually, that involves some kind of incentive for investors to convert the debt into equity, such as the discount or warrant to the next round of fundraising. So if you offer investors a discount, the most common is 20 to 25%, it means that they can convert their loan into equity at a discounted rate. For example, if an investor loans you $1 million with a 25% discount on the first round, they can get $1.25 million worth of equity in the next round. So, if you offer investors a discount, so let me say that again, an example. So if your investor loans you $1 million with a 25% discount on the first round, they will get $1.25 million worth of equity. A warrant is also expressed in percentages. For example, 20% warrant coverage. If we take the same $1 million with a 20% warrant coverage, the investor gets an additional $200,000 or 20% and $1 million in securities in the next round. You will also need to set the interest rate as you will be for a straight debt raise in order to repay the investors until they convert. There's typically a valuation cap for convertibles. So, when to do it? Convertible debt fundraise makes the most sense for startups that are not ready yet for a valuation of their company. So you're not ready to cough up the $4,000 or the $30,000 worth of audit, you know, financial audit of financials, either because it's too early or for whatever reason. If you believe that your company's valuation is likely to skyrocket soon, but not soon enough, you might want to consider convertible debt. Things to keep in mind. For investors, convertible debt offerings are an option. So, hey, gosh, we're coming up out of time. So I hope this was helpful. I know I packed a lot of information. If you have any questions, reach out to us at www.greenlandhq.com or call us at 559-207-3148. It's been a pleasure. Have a great Saturday, everybody. We'll talk next week.